Galatians chapter 6, and I want to read verse 7 through to verse 9 again. The Lord says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." This is by a word of prayer, and ask that the Lord would give me help, but also that the Lord would give you help to understand what's being said, and even that the Lord would work in your heart this morning. Let each and every one of us pray. Our gracious Lord and our Father in heaven, I want to thank thee that we can come before thee in prayer this morning. And Father, know that thine eyes are always upon thy people, and that thine ears are always open to their cry. Father, I thank thee that thy word is a living word. And I ask thee, Lord, now that you would be pleased to give me help, Lord, to exalt thy beloved Son. Father, I pray, fill me afresh with thy Holy Spirit. Father, forgive me for my many sins. And Lord, as thou hast called me to serve thee, Father, I pray, be pleased to be faithful. Give me, Lord, all that I need. And Father, may you be pleased to do a work this morning through thy precious word, and do it for thy glory. Lord, be with each one here, from the youngest to the eldest. Lord, have a word in season for them, we pray. And Lord, if they need to be challenged, Lord, challenge them. Lord, if they need to be comforted, comfort them. If they need to be encouraged, Lord, but surely every one of us need. Lord, I pray, encourage us through thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I wonder if anyone here has ever heard someone turn around and say to them, "You be careful, because you will reap what you sow." I wonder if you ever heard someone say that. And whether it's a parent, a grandparent, an older brother or sister, "You be careful, because you're going to reap what you sow." And quite often whenever we hear that truth, it's always applied negatively. You know, don't lie because, well, you'll reap. People will lie to you, or don't bully, or don't steal, because you'll reap bad things from them. This morning I want to look at this truth. I want us to see the laws of harvest. And I believe that as we look at it, we'll not only see those things that will challenge us, but we'll also see those things that comfort us, those things that will encourage us. Because this truth can be applied negatively, but can also be applied positively. And as I thought about the laws of harvest, I have to say it's greatly encouraged my own heart. So the laws of harvest. We see the law, we see the truth stated here in verse 7. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Well, what's the first law I want us to see? Well, it's this. You can only reap what has been sown. Imagine a farmer. Imagine he goes out to one of his fields, and as he goes out, he hopes to dig up carrots. But as he goes throughout the field, he could walk step after step after step, but unless he or someone else has sown carrots there, he is never going to reap it. Maybe they've sown Brussels sprouts. I don't know if you like them or not, if you're going to get them for your Sunday dinner today, but if someone sows Brussels sprouts, that farmer's not going to get carrots. Unless carrots have been sown, then carrots will not be reaped. You can only reap that which has been sown. It's a very simple truth. That's seen not only in farming and in the soil, but it's also seen in society. A number of weeks ago, I had got a very, very sore tooth. I had a root canal filling done, and there turned out to be a crack in it, and it was very sore. But I'm telling you, was I ever so thankful that someone in years gone by had put effort and energy and research into discovering pain relief and even dental practices? I would never have been able to go to the dentist and get that filling sorted unless someone had sown the research, sown the effort, sown the study. You and I can only reap what has been sown. You can apply that to many things, whether it be the medical world, such as x-rays, CT scans, ultrasounds. You can apply it to even other pieces of information like mobile phones and internet. And all of these things, you and I can only reap what has been sown. Maybe there's some people here this morning and you have a knitted onesie. Well, you could only have had that knitted onesie if someone had put the research into working out how to get the wool from the sheep to the wool that you knit with. You can only reap what has been sown. But that truth can also be seen in salvation. If you turn with me, please, in the Word of God to the book of John. John's Gospel in the chapter 12. John's Gospel in the chapter 12. Jesus Christ is speaking in verse 24, and he says these words. Verily, verily, or indeed, of a truth, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. What Jesus Christ is saying, very simple here, if you don't sow the seed, well then nothing will come from it. But if you sow the seed and the seed die, then it will bring forth an abundance of fruit. And Jesus Christ, later on in this chapter, he goes on to say in verses 32 to 33 about his death, he says, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. But this morning, Jesus Christ did not die. If he was not that seed that was sown into the ground and died, well, you and I could never reap the beauty and the benefits of salvation. Just take a wee minute to think about that. You may have heard the gospel many times. Maybe you've heard it a few times. You and I could never have heard the beauty of the gospel. You and I could never have heard, or indeed hear this morning, about the wonderful peace that we're going to have, knowing that our sins are forgiven because Christ has paid the debt for our sins in full. And if we ask him to forgive us, he'll forgive us. You and I could never have that peace if Christ did not die. You and I could never have the joy of a relationship with God. If you're saved this morning, you have that joy. As you read God's word, as he comforts and speaks to your heart through it, as you talk to him in prayer, cast your care upon him, knowing he cares for you, you can walk with God. You can have that joy in God. And also, if you're saved this morning, surely the Holy Spirit has worked in your heart and given you that love for God. That love to live for him and to enjoy him, to reveal him. But this morning, if Christ did not die, you and I could never have that peace. We could never have that joy in Christ. We could never have that love for Christ. Because there would be no gospel. You and I would not be gathered here this morning if Christ did not die. This building would not be built if Christ did not die. If Christ did not die, if he was not a seed sown in the ground, well then you and I could never reap anything from it. There would be no fruit. There would be no gospel, no hope. Praise the Lord this morning. There is hope. Praise the Lord this morning. We can have that peace of sins forgiven. Praise the Lord this morning. We can have that joy of knowing that we're a child of God. We can have that peace that we're in his hand and he'll never let us go. We can have that love for him by God the Holy Spirit working in our lives. You and I can reap this morning because Christ has died. If Christ did not die, we could not reap. But praise the Lord, he has died and you and I can reap. Can I ask you this morning, have you reaped the benefits of salvation? Have you asked Christ to save you? Have you reaped the beauty of forgiveness, that peace? Do you know the joy of walking with God and knowing that you're his child, loved by him with an infinite and an unending love? Do you know that? A joy that passes all understanding. And do you have that love for him? A love that truly satisfies. This morning you can reap salvation because Christ has died. How thankful we ought to be to the Lord if we have received such. But not only did Christ have to die for us to reap salvation, but Christ also had to send someone to tell us the good news. You see, you and I could not have heard the salvation. We could not enjoy the benefits of it unless someone told us. But praise the Lord, he's done that this morning. You see, in the first century, the Lord sent the Apostle Paul to bring the gospel to Europe. Then in the fifth century, he sent St. Patrick to bring it from Europe to Ireland. Then in the 16th century, he sent William Tyndale to translate the scriptures into English. In the 17th century, he sent men and women from England and Scotland in the plantation to come and to dwell here. And with them, they brought the gospel. And in our own generation, the Lord has raised up ministers, godly mothers, grandfathers, brothers, friends, to tell us the gospel. But you and I this morning, we could not have reaped it unless someone told us. You know, if we're saved, we should be filled with thankfulness that not only did Christ die, but he sent someone to tell us that he died. And he's worked on us by God the Holy Spirit. We should be filled with thankfulness because Christ has done everything for us. But it should also fill us with a responsibility as well. That sense of it. I was talking to a young man a number of years ago as I walked along the Mourne Mountains. A beautiful day it was. And as we were walking up mountain after mountain, he turned around and he asked me a question. He said, Paul, what happens to all the people who don't hear the gospel? What happens to them? Where do they go whenever they die? Do they go to heaven or do they go to hell? They haven't heard. And as I was thinking about how to tell him the truth and how to explain it to him, a thought entered my mind that had never entered it before. And that is that at one point the entire world knew the gospel. There, whenever man fell, Adam and Eve were told the gospel by God. that the Lord would send a Messiah, a seed to come. Adam and Eve then passed that on to their children, passed it on to Cain, passed it on to Seth. But Cain chose not to believe it. Cain chose not to accept it. And as far as we can tell, Cain then did not pass that on to his children. Seth, however, he did believe it, and he passed it on to his children. And you think about this. If that was to continue on generation after generation after generation, part of the world would grow up in complete ignorance. And the other part of the world would grow up with knowledge of the truth. But why is it that those who grew up in ignorance grew up in ignorance? It was because someone didn't pass it on. You see this morning the great responsibility there is, if we know the truth, to pass it on. You may say, well, if I don't tell the gospel, if I don't believe the gospel, surely I'm only affecting my own life. You're not. You're affecting the lives of all those you come into contact with by not telling them the gospel. You say, well, I send my children to Sunday school. I do this and I do that. But yet this morning, if you're not saved, while you may tell the gospel with your words, yet you're denying it with your life. If you say that God loved us with all he has and gave his son to die for us, yet you're not really believing it if you turn around and don't live for the Lord, you and yourself don't trust the Lord, because you're saying, well, he hasn't really loved us with everything. He's not worthy of my love. This morning I wonder, are we passing on the gospel? Those in our families, those in our neighborhoods, my Buddhist neighbor on one side, my Roman Catholic neighbor on the other side, they can only believe the gospel if someone tells them. Tell me, are we passing the gospel on? Do we believe it ourselves, not merely with our mouths, but do we believe in our hearts and are we living it? What a great responsibility there is to pass the gospel on, because people can only reap if the seed has been sown. Are you sowing the seed? I wonder this morning. The second law of the harvest, well, the first one is you can only reap what has been sown. The second law is that we reap the same kind as what we sow. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 tells us that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And Paul goes on to say in verse 8, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Again, let's go back to the illustration of a farmer. If a farmer, he sowed carrots, what's he going to get? He's going to get carrots. If he sowed broccoli, what's he going to get? He's going to get broccoli. If he sowed potatoes, what's he going to get? He's going to get potatoes. You will reap the same kind as what you sow. Not a different kind. If he sows carrots, he's not going to get Brussels sprouts. You will only reap if you sow, but you will also reap the same kind as what you sow. I wonder this morning, if you're saved, do you want to know the Lord more? You hear that he loves you. You hear he's given everything for you. You believe it in your heart. Let me ask you, do you want to know him more? Do you want to know him who is everything to you? Well, can I tell you this morning that if you and I, and I speak to myself before I speak to you, but if you and I spend our time listening to rubbish and nonsense, that will not lead us to Christ. We'll not get to know Christ more and more. You see, if we listen to nonsense and all the rest of it, we'll not grow in the Lord, because we will reap the same kind as what we sow. If you and I want unity in our congregations, you and I cannot sow jealousy and bitterness and isolation. We must sow unity. We must sow love. We must sow grace. We must sow forgiveness. We must care. If you and I want the blessings that a life of prayer brings, you and I cannot live a prayerless life. You see, you and I will reap the same kind as what we sow. Tell me, do you want to know the Lord more? Do you want to live for him? Do you want to be used by him? Do you want to see him work in the lives of your family, the lives of those in the congregation here, the lives of those in the area? We must seek to know the Lord. We must pray to the Lord for his blessing. And if we do, we will reap that. But you can't live a prayerless life and a life without study, a life without listening to God's word, and not reap the benefits of such. But while there is the application to those that are saved, the application is also here to those that are not saved. You see, I meet people and they tell me that they want to go to heaven, but yet they live like they want to go to hell. They tell me that they want forgiveness, they want mercy, but yet they live in rebellion. They tell me that they want Christ, but yet they continue to reject him. You cannot sow one thing and hope to get the other. You can't continue to live your life in rejection of Christ and hope that one day you'll get him. You can't continue to live your life as if in sin and as if you want to go to hell and yet at the same time want to go to heaven. You will reap what you sow. The same kind of as it. This morning, if you want Christ, you must turn to him. This morning, if you want mercy, you must repent from your sins. You must cry to God for mercy. This morning, if you want heaven to be with Christ for all eternity, you must get right with God. Can I ask you this morning, in your life, what are you sowing? Are you sowing rejection? Are you sowing a life of selfishness, living in sin? Well, if that's the case, then you will reap the result of that. The third law of harvest, while the second is that we will reap the same kind as what we sow, yet the third one is that we reap in a different season than when we sow. You see, in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, we're told, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall, the future tense, that shall he also reap. You and I live in a society today where we love everything now. We want our meals now, whether it be instant porridge, instant coffee, instant microwavable meals, instant rice, fast food chains. We want our information now. We want text messages and emails rather than sending letters through the post. We want our gifts now. If you're shopping on the internet and you see the option for delivery and it's just a few extra pence to get it next day rather than 3 days' time, you say, I shall just pay an extra few pence. You don't need it now. It's not for another 2 weeks. You need it, but you want it now. You want things right now, if you can possibly get it. We want our groceries now. You've got your do-it-yourself pills at the supermarket. You don't have to wait up in queue. You just go do it yourself. It's a great thing. But we live in an instant society. And while God can do things instantly, he spoke creation instantly, yet his general pattern since creating the world is for things to take time, for there to be a gap between the sowing and the reaping. Whenever the farmer goes out to sow his Brussels sprouts, he will sow them in early summer. He'll sow them in April, but he'll not reap them until winter, around November time. If someone goes to sow broad beans, you'll sow them in the winter, but you'll not reap until the summer. And if you go and you sow beetroot, well, you must sow it in the spring, and then you'll reap it in the autumn. But do you see the reality there? You sow it one period, and then later on, then you reap from it. That's the general pattern. It's the same whenever we come to this law of harvest. And we apply it spiritually. While God can work instantly, yet quite often there is a time lapse. There is a period between the sowing and the reaping. And that teaches us a very important lesson, that we should trust the word of God rather than look at our circumstances. I wonder this morning if you are discouraged. Perhaps the Lord's given you a promise, and you've been pleading that promise for years, but as of yet, you haven't received the answer to it. Perhaps you've been witnessing to someone, a loved one, but yet you haven't seen any fruit from it. Perhaps you've been hungering and striving after righteousness to walk closer to the Lord, to become more like him, but as yet you look at your life and you see little fruit as a result of it. Child of God, can I tell you this morning, do not give up, because there's often a time gap between the sowing and the reaping. Let us not be like Abraham, who, although he had been given a promise from God that he would have a child, that he tried to turn to his own way to get it. He turned and committed adultery with Hagar to try and force God's promise to come true. But tell me, did his force work? No, it didn't, because the child still came through Sarah. Let us not be like Jacob, who tried to force God's promise by using deception to get the blessing of the firstborn. Did he get the blessing? Yes. But he would have got it if he had went God's way as well. Let us instead be like David. Whenever he was promised that he would be king, yet he never tried to kill Saul. He respected and honored Saul until it was God's time. Let us be like the Apostle Paul, who God promised that he would take him to Rome. But yet Paul was taken to prison. He was there in prison for 2 years. Felix, the governor, came time after time to visit him. No doubt Paul's hopes got built up every time. Maybe today I'm going to get out. Maybe today I'm going to get to Rome. But no, he had to wait for 2 years. But did he force it? Did he bribe Felix? No, he didn't. He waited on the promise of God, because he knew it would come in the right and the perfect time. Can I encourage you, child of God, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up pleading the promise. Don't give up witnessing. Look to the promises of God. And know that as for God, his ways are perfect. Well, again, there is the application of this third truth, that there is often a time gap between the sowing and the reaping. And you can apply that to the child of God. You can also apply that to those that live in sin. I have met people on the streets, and standing in front of me, they have said, I don't believe there's a God. And they pointed their finger up to heaven and said, if God is real, strike me down. It's a very solemn, very serious thing to say, and I hope no one here would say that. And they say, well, God hasn't struck me down now, so there is no God. Perhaps you're saying this morning, I can live in sin. I don't see any consequence from it. I don't see any judgment coming. I don't see any punishment coming. Can I tell you in love this morning, the third law of the harvest, that there's often a time period between the sowing and the reaping. You see, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, we're told, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked." The word mocked there is the idea of turning your nose up. We're told we're not to turn our nose up to God. Why? Because whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you live in sin, you live in rebellion to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has loved us and offers us freely salvation. You reject him and you rebel against him. You will reap judgment. Numbers chapter 32, we're told, be sure your sin, that is the punishment of your sin, it will find you out. The fourth law of harvest is that you will reap more than you sow. Why is it farmers go out and plant their seed? It is because they expect to get a profit. You wouldn't go out and plant seed if you knew you were going to be losing it all and you were going to be losing all your money. You go out and you plant because you expect to get a profit from it. You expect to get more back than what you put in. If you sowed £100 worth of soil, you'd hope to get more than £100 back. Otherwise, you'd end up losing money again and again and again and again, and eventually you go bankrupt. Again, I wanted to try and find out how well some vegetables grow, and so I went on to Google. Apparently, the average summer squash plant, just one of them, will produce about 10 to 15 squash. One cucumber plant, depending on variety, of course, but it will produce around about 12 to 20 cucumbers. One tomato plant, 15 tomatoes. One sweet pepper plant, 10 to 15 sweet peppers. One lady spoke of her experience. She said how she spent £10 on pepper plants and she received £50 on peppers. She also spent £13 on winter squash plants and she received £100 as a result. The truth of the law of the harvest, generally speaking, is that you will get more back than what you put in. Again, there's an encouragement there for the child of God. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 13:23, he talked about the word of God being sown. And as such, he said that some would bring forth 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Whether it be 30, it was still 30 times more than what was put in. As you read the Bible, perhaps you're looking for a comfort. You think about it. You read the Bible, you cry to God for a word in season. He gives you that word to encourage you, to strengthen you. That it strengthens you at that present time. But that blessing from God will last not merely then, but it will last in future days as well. Perhaps you come across the same difficulty or another difficulty. And that Lord brings that word back to you that you got. Then it's a blessing a second time and a third time and a fourth time and a fifth time, again and again and again. Your one seeking for God resulted in many blessings. You reap more than what you sowed. More than you think if you receive the word and season, a blessing from God, and you go to your workplace, or you come here in the Lord's day, and you, as you're speaking to someone afterwards, you tell them, "The Lord bless my heart with this truth." And you pass it on, and the Lord uses that to be a blessing to them. And that encourages them. Well, while you were blessed through it, now someone else is blessed through it. And they pass it on to someone else, and on to someone else, and on to someone else. You get the idea? You and I sow the word of God. You and I will reap more than what we sow. The same goes for prayer. Perhaps you're praying for someone to be saved. If the Lord saves that person, think about the number of people in their lifetime that they will pray for. Think about in their lifetime the number of people that they will witness to. You pray for someone that the Lord would raise up, labours to go into his harvest field, and the Lord answers that prayer. He raises someone up. You think the amount of people that in their 10, 15, 20, 40 years of ministry that will be reached through that one prayer. Can I encourage you, children of God, this morning? You and I will reap more than what we sow. Does that not encourage us to turn around and say, "Well, Lord, have it all. Have it all. Lord, make me to be that man and woman of prayer. Lord, make me to be that one that serves. Make me be that one that seeks to receive a word from you in the morning time and then to pass it on throughout the day. To be an encouragement to the others because, Lord, it will be a greater reaping than what is sown." Andrew, the disciple, he brought his brother Peter to Christ. And there was fruit there in Andrew. Sorry, and Peter. But Peter then went on to be a preacher. And Peter preached to thousands. And the Lord brought thousands to Christ. And Andrew sowed one seed. Thousands was reached. Luke wrote his gospel to encourage Theophilus. One man. As you and I read, and down through church history, all those who have read Luke's gospel and have blessed through it. Millions upon billions of encouragement and blessings from one seed. You and I will reap more than what we sow. But let me apply that also to those that live in sin. Those that have a cold heart to the Lord this morning. Hosea said to those who are rebelling against the Lord, in his prophecy in chapter 8 and verse 7, he says that those who rebel, they have sown the wind, but they shall reap the whirlwind. This is a very solemn truth. If you and I live in sin, sin has its consequences. You take the life of David, David, he committed sin with Bathsheba, adultery. He then went on to murder Bathsheba's husband, Uriah. And in sowing to the wind, he reaped the whirlwind. He reaped more than what he sowed. Whenever Nathan came to speak to David, we read in 2 Samuel chapter 12, Nathan gave David several indictments. He said, "You killed Uriah. Here's the judgment. The sword will never depart from your house." The second indictment, "You took Uriah's wife." The judgment, "Your wives shall be taken." The third indictment, "You defied Uriah's wife secretly." The third judgment, "Your wives will be defiled openly before all Israel." The fourth indictment, "You gave occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme the Lord." The judgment, "The child that is born to you shall die." You and I may think that sin is a small thing, but here's a solemn truth to every one of us this morning. You and I will reap more than what we sow. Perhaps you think that sin that you're indulging in is a small thing. But if you and I speak to myself here, if you and I sow to the wind, we will reap the whirlwind. I plead with you, turn from your sin. Jesus Christ, he wants to forgive you. He wants to purify you. He wants to lead you on with himself. I plead with you, turn to Christ. The fifth law of harvest is that we will reap in proportion to what we sow. Perhaps you say, you know, just completely contradicted what you just said, that you reap more than what you sow. Well, they're both true. Let me explain to you. Imagine two farmers. Farmer A and Farmer B. Both are given 10 seeds. One farmer, he takes all 10 seeds and he sows all 10 seeds. Imagine that the general increase is 10 times. So he sowed all 10, and at the end he will receive 100 vegetables. Just take it as a general pattern, right? This farmer B, he is given also 10 seeds, but he neglects 9 of them. He doesn't care about them, but he takes one and he sows that one seed and he gets 10. Both farmers reaped more than what they sowed, but they also reaped in proportion to what they sowed. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, "He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly." Farmer B. "But he which soweth bountifully," farmer A, "shall also reap bountifully." Can I encourage you, child of God, give all you have to the Lord. You see, the Lord, whenever he looks at us, he doesn't look to see how much is given. He looks to see how much is left. We read about a widow. She cast in 2 mites. Read about other men, they cast in much more. But Jesus Christ said that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. Why? Because she cast in everything she had. Are you holding something back from the Lord? If you sow sparingly, you sow little, you sow half-hearted, you sow a little bit of your time, a little bit of your energy, a little bit of love, you will reap sparingly. But praise the Lord this morning, if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. The hymn writer said, "Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, it demands my life, my soul, my all." If you and I just take time to think of the grace of God to you and to me. We were dark in sin. We hated the light, but God by his Spirit made us new creatures in him. He opened up our eyes, he gave us a love for Christ, and we turned to him. We saw his beauty before it was foolishness. The Lord has saved you. He died on the cross. That seed that was sown, it died to bear fruit in your life. And child of God, he sent someone to tell you. He sent the Holy Spirit to open up your eyes, to draw you to himself. And he's ever kept you. Sure, the Lord's worth everything. You and I reap in proportion to what we sow. And as I close, can I just say 2 things quickly? A good harvest will only be reaped if you persevere. If you're a gardener here, you know that if you sow a seed and you see a flower that begins to come from it, and you see it begin to blossom and then begin to bud. Of course, if the weather's dry, you need to go and you water it. You can't just neglect it. If you neglect it, it'll just die and wither. You see, this morning, not merely must we begin, but we must continue. You see, Galatians 6 tells us that let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. If we faint not, we must persevere in the work of God. We must persevere in prayer. We must persevere in witness. We must persevere in encouragement. Yes, it is easy to get to turn to despair. It is easy to be disappointed. It is easy to be discouraged whenever you see nothing happening. But remember, don't look at the circumstances. Look at the promise. I know that if we do not faint, we shall reap. For a harvest to come, there must be that perseverance. But yet, again, perhaps someone living in sin, well, what must I do to reap a bad harvest? Same as what the gardener does. Nothing. Just don't do anything. Just sit where you are. Don't do anything. Don't turn to the Lord. Don't ask him to forgive you. Don't turn from your sin. and you will reap judgment. Perhaps you say, well, I have wasted much time. Well, the final law is this. While you and I cannot do anything about last year's harvest, it's done. Yet you and I can do something about next year's. Perhaps you haven't spent much time seeking to know the Lord. Perhaps you haven't spent much time seeking to serve the Lord. Perhaps you haven't spent much time seeking to encourage and strengthen those that are saved. While you can't do anything about what's already been done, yet turning to the Lord, asking Him to forgive you, you can ask Him to purify you and to give you grace to live this year for Him. This morning, what will you do? You see the love of Christ. We wouldn't have the gospel, wouldn't be here this morning if Christ did not, like a seed, die. But He has. To give us that peace in Him, that joy in Him, that love for Him. He's given everything. God the Father gave us all. He gave His Son. God the Son gave us all. He gave us life. God the Holy Spirit continues to give everything to us, working in our lives. Dwelling with us always. Will you not give all you have to Him? If you're not saved, praise the Lord, there's hope. Like the thief on the cross, much of his life was wasted. Yet he turned to Christ. He saw Christ dying for him. And he asked Christ to forgive him. And Christ did. He forgave him. He made him a new creature. The Lord can do that with you even this morning. The Lord bless His word to your heart and to mine this morning.